share the word this morning. It's kind of morning. Kind of somewhere in the world this morning. In Hawaii, it's morning right now. Come on. Aloha. Anyway. Wow, God did a lot of great things in 2013, and I'm just expecting greater things in 2014. And man, I don't know about you, but literally, personally, in my life, I'm expecting to experience joy and freedom in a measure that I've never experienced before in this next year. Like those two themes are going to just really just transform my life. I want to know really like fullness of joy. You know what I mean? Like not like halfness of joy or three-quarterness. Let's just laugh at that. I want 100% fullness of joy. And I want to know what he said when he said, if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Like, I want to know that, like, fully and completely. I don't want it to be a good theory that I talk about because it's good. I want it to be something in my experience. Help me understand when the promises of God move from just in your account into in your hand, in your experience, nothing's better than when you experience the promise of God. Amen. Now, church, I'm going to need you to help me preach this morning. So I need you to practice with me and look at your neighbor and say, help him. In Mark 11, we're going to begin in verse 22. Praise the Lord. How about there? We'll just start reading. The Bible's a good place to start. Mark 11, verse 22. Actually, just the context, just to let you know, Jesus, I'm just going to back up. It's not going to be in the text because I didn't give it to him, but if you just go to verse 20, if you have your Bible, it says, now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Verse 21, and Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you have cursed has withered away. And so verse 22 says this, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Everyone say, have faith in God. Verse 23, for assuredly I say to you, everyone say, I say to you, whoever says, everyone says, says, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he, what? Says will be done. He will have whatever he says. Everyone say, boom. This morning, I want to, or afternoon, whatever, today, I want to talk to you about declarations. I want to talk to you about the power of our words and declarations. I believe that declaring truth and declaring the word of God, the will of God, the promise, the blessing of God, speaking to things, there's so much power in our words. And I believe that how the scripture said that there's life in the power of the tongue. How many of y'all know that scripture? Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. I believe that you can actually transform things with your words. I believe that there's creative power. There's life-giving, atmosphere-shifting power in your words. I know that words can shift atmospheres. A really easy example of this would be if I just started dropping out some four-letter words right now and just started explaining to you all the cuss words that I learned as a young child. That would, how many of y'all know there would be a constricting in the atmosphere, namely around my neck and the other person grabbing the microphone and a linebacker coming and taking me off the stage? But how many of y'all know if I started declaring blessing and started releasing life, if I just started saying, you know, something like Summit Church is a blessed and prosperous, healthy church, and it's being used to propel worldwide revival. There's revivalists getting raised up, and the spirit of prophecy rests on the people of Summit, and they're blessed in their jobs, they're blessed in their coming, they're blessed in their going. They are not just blessed, but they are a blessing everywhere they go. When they walk into businesses, the businesses just start prospering. When they walk into hospitals, people just start getting healed. When they walk by depressed people, depression just lifts off of them. My God, these people at Summit are amazingly blessed. Whoa. And the people at Summit, did you know that the people at Summit are the most sensitive to the Holy Spirit? That when God's moving in a place, man, they're getting touched. They're sponges for what God's doing. Man, I'm preaching myself happy right now. I'm happy to be a part of this church, my God. This is a good church. Everyone say this. Say, I came hungry today. And I am a sponge. And I'm receiving everything that God has for me. Say, I am the most sensitive person.
which I 100% agree with. But there's something about it. I believe that the words of God actually kill things and bring things alive all at the same time. I believe that the word of God, when you're releasing life over people, it actually kills depression. It actually kills shame and condemnation and fear and doubt and things that haunt us and addictions. And actually, that's the power of when Jesus, he cursed the fig tree because it wasn't bearing fruit. And I believe he likes to prune us. He likes to kill things in our lives that doesn't bear fruit. Actually, they're already dead. That's why he's pulling the dead leaves off. But you know what I'm saying? I believe the word of God kills and brings life all at the same time. Come on, somebody. When God's word is released into our lives, it actually causes the works of the devil to cease. Jesus, for this reason, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. And we'll see here in just a few minutes that one of the primary ways that he destroyed the works of the devil was through declarations and speaking to things. Amen. So good. I love Jesus' words, and they're so powerful. Let me say this. This is a really good phrase, and I want you to remember this, that what you say after you pray is just as important as what you said during prayer. Come on. Like, what you're saying after you're praying is just as important as what you said when you were praying. Man, I believe that there's people in the room, when they pray, man, they're peeling the paint off the walls. You know what I'm saying? We got intercessors in this room that will just get down. You know what I'm saying? When Susan Taylor prays, you better watch out. Some demon's flying back that way, getting kicked around the room. You know, someone's getting set free and healed and delivered, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost and fire. I just got excited. But, you know, something happens. But, you know, what we're saying after we pray is just as important because your words carry creative power. And so the deal is like this, man. Psalm 103, verse 20. Just write this down because I didn't totally give them all the verses. So if nothing comes up, it's not their fault. It's my fault. But it's okay because the Word of God has power. It's just going to come out. And you're going to write it down, take notes, and you're going to remember everything. It's going to be so good. Psalm 103, verse 20 says, "Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, who heed the voice of his word." Heeding, or the King James says, hearkening unto the voice of his word. This is what it means. When angels hear God's word being released, it actually gives them something to do. They actually go and accomplish the word of God. Say this with me. Say, angels get excited when I come around because I give them something to do by the powerful declarations that I speak. Come on. So check this out, though. When you speak, angels are actually commissioned. Like when we said earlier that we're the most sensitive people to the Holy Spirit, something just shifted in your mindset. And you saw, you know, because sometimes you see this other person fall on the ground, or this other person's shaking, or this other person's laughing, or this other person had this crazy manifestation. Like, oh, I must not be getting touched by God because I'm not, like, kind of weird looking. You know, and so, let's just laugh at that. But the thing is like this. When you start declaring those things over your life, man, I wasn't always the person who would experience supernatural manifestations physically in my life. I mean, I had a degree of it, but it wasn't like what other people. But man, something shifted in my mindset. And I believe that through the declaration of saying I'm the most sensitive person to the Holy Spirit, man, God starts showing up in ways that it just blows me away, man. I feel the presence of God more now than I ever have in my entire Christian life because something shifted in the way I believe. So let me go back, though. The words that you have actually release angels, and they actually are doing God's word. They're commissioned to do the word of God and accomplish what he said. And so here's the deal. What we say after we pray is just as important while we're praying, because when we're praying, we're declaring things. And I think that sometimes we might be sending confusing messages to angels. I mean, they're like, oh, okay, by the stripes of Jesus, so-and-so is healed. They're like, oh, come on, angels, let's go give them a new heart. Let's go give them this whole thing. And then afterwards, someone said, man, I don't know what we're going to do. This is a hopeless situation. Like, oh, the voices are saying different things now. I feel like sometimes we can confuse the heavenly host sometimes with our negative declarations. Are you following what I'm saying? We're commissioning them with the word of God and all this kind of stuff, and then right after, the same mouthpiece that declared the word of God is saying things that are canceling out what we just said. Are you following what I'm saying this morning? Come on, there's power in what you say, because what you say after you pray is just as important as what you said during your prayer. Come on. And words, I'm just going to be throwing out some just injections, all right? So just take notes and follow. Words actually impart grace. And grace is a divine enablement to do God's will. It's what empowers you to do the will of God. Words, and in Ephesians 4:29, it says, "No, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but only what is useful for building up everybody." And then this is what it says, that you may impart grace to the people who this. I am the most forgiving person I know. All right. Help us with that, Lord. Anyway, but we did this thing where we went around and we started sharing encouraging words. So the person who had number one had to encourage the person who had number two. The person who had number two had to encourage the person with number three, and so on and so forth. And, man, I'm telling you, by the end of this thing, all we did was just say encouraging things. We said, you know what? I see this in your life, and I just see that you do this, and da-da-da. And we began to encourage one another. But I'm telling you, by the end of this little session, we were crying. The Holy Spirit came. I felt the joy of the Lord. Man, I'm telling you, God showed up in the place. And we literally took lids off of each other and started releasing life. And I felt the presence of God. I was like doing the laugh cry. How many of y'all know what the laugh cry is? You know, you're like, tears are coming down your face. You don't know whether to laugh or to cry. I don't know. Yeah, you know. You have experienced that before, people of God. And so anyway, man, words literally impart grace to people. You're giving them divine enablement to do the will of God. When God, the angel of the Lord, appeared to Gideon, and he's hiding in a wine press, and he's just like, I'm the least in my tribe, I'm the least in my family. I ain't got nothing to give for anybody. I'm down in the dumps. The angel of the Lord came to him, and the first thing he said was, mighty man of valor. You know, and then he goes, well, I can't do anything. And then he says again, mighty man of valor, go on the strength that you now have and deliver the Israel from the hand of the enemies. And he's just like, whoa, what? But you know what happened? He spoke to a warrior who didn't think he was a warrior just yet. And the victory happened because he imparted grace. He released it to him. And said, you can do this thing. I believe in you. And the word of the Lord imparted grace for him to accomplish what God has called him to. Declarations actually help shape our belief systems. This is what I was referring to earlier with being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Declarations actually help form your belief systems. This is what it says in Romans 10:17. It says, faith comes by what? By hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How many of y'all know it did not say faith comes by reading? Did you catch that? Faith doesn't come by reading, as scripture said. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And when you, this is the coolest part about this, that you can actually be the one who shapes your belief system and imparts grace. You can be your number one fan, because you actually hear you more than anybody else. Come on, everywhere you go, there you are. Come on. And you can actually be the number one person who's helping to shape your belief system and imparting grace into your own life. I'm telling you, man, this is part of my daily devotion life. Every morning, man, almost every morning, at the end of my prayer time, I just get up and I stand up and I tell myself who I am. I thank you, God, that I am more than a conqueror through him who loved me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm blessed in my coming and I'm blessed in my going. My God, the favor of God surrounds me as with a shield. I go that way, there's favor. I go this way, there's favor. I go that way, there's favor. Everywhere I look, there's favor. My God, I have favor on my life. And I just tell myself who I am in the morning, because I know that it's shaping my belief system. And when my beliefs are right, I start expecting things. I mean, I'm telling you, this is just a little kind of thing. It could be a coincidence, but we went to the movies the other day, and I'm telling you, this is just fun. We went to the movies the other day, and I'm telling you, the line that we were in, it was the fastest line in the whole movie. Some of y'all know that when you go to the movies after Christmas, they're like, long, every movie. I'm telling you, we're like, come on, you guys better decide what we're watching, because I'm experiencing exponential favor right now. I'm almost up at the window. Whatever. Listen, like, this is the deal, man. The words actually create your reality and your belief systems. And I believe that there's a shaping of our belief system that God's into. Our speech has to do with experiencing good days. Good days. I'm going to say good days. 1 Peter 3:10 says this. He's quoting Psalm 34, and he says, whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his mouth from speaking deceit. And then he goes on to say, you must turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous to hear their prayers, and his ears are attentive, and his face is against those who do wicked. But this is the deal. The very first thing he said, that you want to see, how many of y'all want to see good days and love life? How many of y'all, are you guys in that? How many of y'all want to see that in 2014? Good days and love life. I want to love life and see good days. He said the first key is watch what you're saying. He said don't put evil things in your mouth and speak those things, and don't have deceitful speech. You know, deceitful speech just literally means not speaking the truth of what God says about your life. say, duh. Like, of course you're not supposed to drop F-bombs on people. Like, come on. Like, you didn't totally need the Bible to figure that one out. I hope so. Anyway. But there's a deeper level of evil speech. Evil speech is actually speaking unbelief. Did you know that in Numbers 13, the spies, the 12 spies, went into the promised land, and they went to spy out the land to see what they're about to take. And it actually came back that two of them actually believed the report, or believed that they could take it, and 10 of them couldn't. And actually, the evil speech of the 10 deterred an entire nation from inheriting the promise of God. Everyone say, whoa. Come on, and so this is the deal, man. We know that the two got to come in, but that whole generation died off. And the scripture says later on that they were unable to enter because of their unbelief. And faith has a faucet, and faith's faucet is your mouth. And the scripture says, I believe, therefore I speak. And with that same spirit of faith, we believe and therefore speak. And that's what they were believing. They believed this bad reports about themselves, and it actually deterred an entire nation from inheriting the promise of God. That's crazy talk right there. This is what the scripture says in Proverbs 11:11. It says this: through the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but through the mouth of the wicked, the city is overthrown. Through the blessing of the upright. Who's the upright? You can say it again. We are. We're the upright because we made righteous through the sacrifice of Jesus. And the scripture says when we bless, man, I tell you, when we come when you drive into San Marcos, man, God, I just release the blessing of the Lord over this city. I just release the blessing, Lord, of our city officials. I release the blessing of the Lord. I declare that the kingdom of heaven is invading earth in San Marcos and in North County. And just drive in and just start declaring through the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted. I just declare as the kingdom of heaven is invading, crime is decreasing and marriages are being restored. The spirit of bitterness and unforgiveness is far from our city. The critical spirit and orphan spirit doesn't have a place in our city. But when we come in, we just release the blessing and sons and daughters are getting raised up and who know the heart of their father. There's people, you know, with the gift of prophecy rising up and releasing life. Come on, you can bless your city every time you come into it. Come on, can you imagine what it would be like if a group of people, just every single time they came into the city, they released the blessing of the Lord on the city? Come on, what principality and power could stand after so much blessings being released? Come on, somebody. What if we just said, through the blessing of the upright, the city, what if we exchanged the word city for the nation, for the state of California, for the nation? What if we said, through the blessing of the White House, come on, through the blessing of the upright, the White House is exalted. Come on, if you don't like what Obama's doing, then release the blessing of the Lord on him. Father, we just release the blessing of the Lord on our President Obama. We declare that he has a sound mind, that he thinks the right thoughts, makes the right decisions in every situation he faces. Come on, when we pray for him, we're actually creating a library for him to pull from. When we pray for him, he's pulling from the library that we're providing, the wisdom of God we're providing for him. Come on, somebody. Bless him. Praise the Lord. When the blessing of the Lord is on somebody's life, it literally pushes out all the other stuff. Like when the blessing of the Lord was on Obed-Edom's house because the presence of God was there, I believe that his crops started producing and the weeds started dying out. I believe that, you know, simple stuff like his zit started disappearing. You know what I mean? I'm talking about abundance of blessing all over. What the quality of his life was increasing. Why? Because the blessing of the Lord was there. And I believe that there's enough people who would release the blessing of the Lord over our president, over our government, over our nation, over our city, over our state, and all this kind of stuff. I believe that we'll see a shift in what's going on in our world. Come on, somebody. I want to see good days, and I want to love life. I want my nation to see good days, and I want my nation to love life. I want my city. I want this campus. I want these students who live in the dorms across the street. I want them to see good days and love life. I want to find the Gideons hiding in the wine press. I want to find the Gideons hiding in the dorms. Oh God, I feel the anointing. I want to call them out and say, mighty man of valor, mighty woman of valor, come. The Lord called you from your birth. The Lord has set you apart from birth. Come on. I want to find Jeremiahs who the Lord set apart from birth and called them to be a prophet to the nations. Come on. The leaders of the nations are all around us. When we say go out into the world, the Lord has brought the whole world to us by bringing a campus that brings the international students to this place. Come on. We can go across the street and literally reach the whole world. And I want to be the one who calls out the Gideons out of the wine press. I want to be the ones who calls out the Jeremiahs and say, hey, you know what? You might think think you're young and you're only a child, but I put my word in your mouth, says the Lord. And you're gonna shape nations. Come on, there's people in this room that have just multiple gifts and talents and power. And I want to declare to you this morning that there's hope. There is hope. The Lord said this morning that He's restoring hope and He's lifting our expectations. I don't know what kind of situations that you've been looking at that look dark and dull, but I believe the word of the Lord for us this morning is that there's light at the end of the tunnel. There's hope for you. There's hope for your family. There's hope for your business. There's hope for your jobs. I believe there's hope in this place, and I just release that over your life this morning. Come on. To these dry bones that are in a valley. And when he spoke to the dry bones, they actually formed, and the rattling and all that stuff, and they formed a skeleton, and the skin came on them. And then he said, but they didn't have any breath in them. He said, Son of Man, prophesy to the breath. And he's prophesied to the catalytic forces, come and breathe four winds, and he released life over them, and they came to life, and they stood up on their feet. And this is what it said, they were an exceedingly great army. And that's what I believe that the Lord is doing in our church. I believe when I look at this church, I see an exceedingly great army. I see a people who are moving forward. I see a people who are not getting stuck in their past and what the devil used to put on them to hold them back. I see a people who are pressing forward into the promises of God. I see a people who don't let bitterness sit on their lives, but it rolls off of their backs. I see a people, God, I see a people who are joyful tithers, cheerful givers, and generous people because the generous DNA of God lives inside of us. My God. I see people who are passionate about the presence of God and people who love to pray. Everyone say this. Say, my church is full of people who are passionate about prayer and the presence of God. Come on, I'm seeing us come to life, and I'm seeing an army stand up on their feet. You know when he says in Isaiah 60, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you, and darkness is over the earth, but the glory of the Lord will shine upon you. That first word, arise, and it's so important for us. You know why? Because when you're arising, that means you are from a lower place, and you were probably laid down on your back in depression, guilt, fear, shame, doubt, etc. But the Lord has called us to arise, and just like the word of the Lord for Ezekiel was, they stood up on their feet, an exceedingly great army, and he said, rise, arise and shine, for your light has come. You have more than enough. You have everything that you need to release life into our city, to release life into your campus, and to release life into your workplace. Come on, this is an army of the Lord that's getting raised up here, and we will not stand. We won't stand for injustice. We won't stand for unrighteousness. We will not stand. There's lines that are being blurred in our culture right now. There's lines that are being blurred about morality issues and what's right and wrong, and people born this way or not born this way, or is this the start of life or is this not the start of life? There's lines that are being blurred all over culture. But I believe there's an army of the Lord getting raised up in this place that's standing for truth and loving people unconditionally. Come on. This is an army of the Lord. The Lord is raising up in this place. Whoa. There's power in your words. There's power in your words. And I just want to, here's one scripture I want to give to you. And I'm going to go through, I'm going to give you 3 points before we go, and they're going to be real brief. But I want to show you this. John 6:63, Jesus said, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. Come on, this is the word of Jesus. When we are saying what the Father is saying, life is released. Literally, Jesus' words carry resurrection life. All he said was, Lazarus, come forth. And the dead man came walking out of the tomb. His words carry resurrection life. And because you are in Christ and he lives inside of you, your words carry resurrection life as well. He said, as the Father sent me, so I'm sending you. You got the same call on your life as Jesus to release life. There's three areas I want to encourage us to speak into. I'm going to give them to you briefly and quickly, but I believe that you've got injections of hope this already. And so I want to encourage you to use this weapon of our words, and I want to encourage you to speak two things. The first thing is the place that we speak to is speak to things. How many understand that when Jesus prayed, or when Jesus and his disciples did ministry, they didn't always pray about things, but they that we will turn a significant corner when we do petitions less and speak to things more. I believe that we will be, because it's a kingdom way to enforce the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God comes. The deal is like this. When Jesus came on the earth, he started his ministry with a declaration. And he said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me to preach good news to the poor and to proclaim liberty. How many of y'all know that's another word for declaration? And Jesus' ministry was full of declarations. And when you see him, he starts bringing heaven on earth through declarations. He speaks to the man with leprosy. He says, I am willing, be clean. And the man was clean. He goes to the guy with the withered hand. He says, stretch out your hand. And the second he stretched it out, it was healed completely. He spoke to a young man in a coffin who had died, and his mother was walking with him. He stopped the procession and he touched the coffin and he said, little boy, I say to you, get up. And the boy got up out of the coffin and started speaking. Come on, and they gave him back to his mother. And this must have been such a normal thing in Jesus' life that the disciples actually carried this kind of lifestyle, because they followed him. You know, when Jesus said, follow me, literally they followed him and they followed his example. They literally walked in his shoes, type of, so to speak. And what they did, you see that they carry the same lifestyle. In the book of Acts chapter 3, you see the same thing. They walk up to the gate, beautiful, and what they say, silver or gold have I none, but what I have I give you. And then they commanded him, I speak to you. And he said, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up. Speaking to another crippled man, he says, Aeneas, the Lord Jesus Christ heals you, get up. And the dude just straight up got up right there. I mean, come on. I mean, that's all that happened. It was through the power of a declaration. Come on, I just believe that there's a shift happening, that we're not going to do as much petitions as we used to, asking God to do something, but we're actually going to be starting to declare and actually stand as a representation of Jesus Christ on the earth and do and minister the way that he ministered. See, when you do that, you're actually releasing heaven on earth. And that's what happened when he spoke. Heaven came to earth and healed the leper and the crippled man. Heaven came to earth when he spoke to the weather. And he said, peace, be still. There's no storms in heaven, and so I'm not allowing them to happen here. Peace, be still. And the peace that was inside of him was released into the atmosphere. Whoa! Are you blessed? Come on. So here's the deal. How ridiculous would it be if a police officer went out and he came to arrest somebody, but every time he was about to arrest somebody, he had to call his commanding officer, hey, this is Andrew again. I'd like to arrest somebody. Can you do that for me? Can you give me... How many of y'all know that doesn't make sense? Because the commanding officer said, bro, I gave you the authority. Do it yourself. And I believe that we will turn a significant corner when we stop calling back that way and realize all authority in heaven and earth has been given, therefore, go. And I just start speaking like Jesus spoke. Come on, God is increasing. This is the way that Jesus ministered. And you can read it all throughout the gospel. I had like 14 references, but just read the Bible. It's in there, I promise. Speak to yourself. Psalm 103, David said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. He spoke to himself. Later, or actually earlier in Psalm 42, he said, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you so disturbed within me? And then he tells himself, put your hope in God. Come on, look in the mirror. Put your hope in God. And he said, for yet I will praise him, my Savior and my God. Sometimes we need to encourage ourselves in the Lord. That's what David did. That's the same dude who wrote those Psalms. It says he was in a really tough time, and it says in 1 Samuel 30, verse 5, he said, but David strengthened himself in the Lord. Come on, he strengthened himself. Sometimes you got to look at yourself and say, soul, I know you don't feel like it. I know you feel sick and tired, but you are going to praise the Lord, because it's not about what you feel. He's worthy of praise, and that's the bottom line. So open your mouth, lift up your tired hands, get up off your sorry butt, and start giving Jesus some praise. Come on. And you tell yourself what to do. Did you know that you're in control of yourself? And Holy Spirit actually gives you this thing called self-control. He gives you ability to tell yourself what it needs to do. I don't feel like waking up and working out. I don't really care what you feel like. Soul, you're going to get up. said this and he declared it. He didn't just read it, but he declared it. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted and to proclaim liberty for the captives and release for those who are oppressed, recovery of sight for the blind. And then he said, he to proclaim the favorable, the acceptable year of the Lord. And then he sat down and said, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. There's a prophetic word. Here's the question. What has God spoken over your life? Because 1 Timothy says, 1 Timothy 1:18, let's just look at this real quick. 1 Timothy 1:18, can we get that? There we go. This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the what? The prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them, I will say by them, you may wage the good warfare and fight the foot, you can fight the good fight. Come on, not only the written scriptures that you have, but there's prophetic words over your life. And God has released promises to your life. You know those moments when you're reading the scripture and it jumps out to you? When you're in your prayer time and God just gives you one sentence and it just makes you come alive.